Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. The political assassination of Charlie Kirk has not only shocked the conscience of many in America, but also throughout the world. Kirk was a conservative firebrand, and he wasn't shy about it. He trafficked in controversy. With his passage, will his core principle of freedom of speech survive? Crosstalking Charlie Kirk, I'm joined by my guest Lionel in New York. He is a legal and media analyst. In Bloomington, we have Bryce Green. He's an activist, writer, and media critic. And in Rio, we cross to Nico House. He is a political analyst, founder of Hotspot Media, and host of For the People podcast. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Gentlemen, I'll be really honest with you. There are so many questions going on around surrounding the political assassination of Charlie Kirk. I have endless numbers of questions here, but I really want to get your impressions of what's going on here. I'm going to start with Lionel. Lionel, what is this story all about? Lionel.
Well, the first issue, Peter, is I've got to tell you something. On a local level here, I am stunned by members of my family, young people, children of friends of mine who were, I don't want to say closeted, but who were unknown Charlie Kirk fanatics, acolytes,
yes,
absolute followers. Mm-hmm. And what I'm noticing, believe it or not, is the amount of unbelievable sorrow. This is their John Lennon. I don't want to make any comparisons. And I never, honestly, I thought he was very good. I was never much of a follower, so I thought he was one of many on the on the horizon or on the list, if you will. But I've got to say something, Peter. He meant more to more people. And the outpouring, it's shocking. I've never seen. And for the first time, very quickly, I'm hearing people who never had the slightest interest in anything about politics or religion or family talk about values. And my only question is, if the Republican Party is interested in the midterms in 2028 and they don't seize upon this now, if they don't stop all this talk about Kash Patel and who's responsible, this is a golden opportunity. And there's going to be a power vacuum. And I'm also going to say something, that his wife, Erica, is going to be bigger than he was, maybe not in terms of the media presence, but her savvy and her absolute brilliance in trying to deal with the mourning and the sorrow. And her eulogium was without peer. So power vacuum, who takes over next? And you're going to see the vulture circle, because we know that's another story. But I'm telling you, this is the Republicans' chance. If they blow this, their fate is their own fault.
You know, it's interesting, Lionel, that you say this. I want to go to Bryce right now. Just as I was going to the studio, I was talking with my director. Everybody knows I live in Russia. I live in Moscow. And she was telling me how her husband's children, you know, 10, 12 years old, they were talking about Charlie Kirk. I'm just echoing what Lionel just said. I had no idea that he had an impact here, let alone in the Western world. So, Bryce, I mean, what is this? Because what this has brought out, okay, it shows so many fissures within the Republican Party. The issue of Israel keeps coming up. Lionel already mentioned Kash Patel. Does anybody trust this guy? I mean, for goodness sake, gentlemen, there were two assassination attempts on Donald Trump last year, and where did they go? What happened there? I mean, it's a lack of trust in authorities here, and there's going to be a lot of political opportunists afloat. And I think Lionel introduced that well. Bryce, what do you think about all this?
The political opportunism is really baked into this conservative movement.
Yep.
I mean, one of the things that we're seeing now is that despite Charlie Kirk's alleged crusade for free speech and open debate and discussion, is that conservatives, including the president himself, they're using this moment to try and crack down on speech that they consider to be offensive. If anyone points out that Charlie Kirk had some awful views, well, then they are on the chopping block. They're trying to get people fired. They're trying to get people, harmed in some way for speaking their opinion. It's a supreme irony that we're seeing here. And you know, it doesn't stop at internet warriors. At my own university, the president of the university, they forced IU's public broadcasting system to live stream this long eulogy where they had people, you know, giving prayers. They had our attorney general, a lot of political figures here. And so this seems like it's being used as a moment to solidify the conservative base, as a moment to really solidify this process of going after people that they don't like. I mean, you should have seen it. There were, military armed vehicles patrolling around. It was pretty shocking. But I think that this is a herald of more of what's to come.
Yeah, and that's why I mentioned in the last sentence of my introduction of this program, will his core principle of freedom of speech be honored? Nico, let me just quote Stephen Miller. Everybody knows who he is. He says, identify, disrupt, dismantle, and destroy a declaration of war on so-called radical left groups. Well, they have freedom of speech too, don't they, Nico?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I actually don't believe that Charlie's core principle is free speech.
Okay.
Although that's what people say and that's what people are claiming. And it's finding ironic, like you said, that there has been a crackdown, or at least there is going to be a crackdown on free speech just because it's coming from the left, because of a presumption that the left is guilty of killing Charlie Kirk, when in fact, we have no forensics evidence proving that. And I don't know why people keep assuming that. It's partially because of articles that have come out, like the one in The Guardian, quoting members of his family and friends, that ultimately was retracted. And so all the evidence that they had that this guy, if he is even guilty, was a leftist, Tyler Robinson, it doesn't exist. There's no forensics evidence. There's no fingerprints. There's nothing. There are allegedly bullet casings.
Well, there is not even admission. There's not even an admission of guilt. Okay. You know, Lionel, are we going through this all over again? Look, I'm an astute observer of politics, just like yourself. I'm usually not the one to go through the checklist of, well, where's the gun, how the gun was assembled, disassembled, how we got off. That's usually off the roof. That's usually not my area here. But I mean, there's a lot of things here that they throw in, and there's the extra caveat to titillate everyone. There's transgenderism involved here. That's one part of the story. I do want to talk about the Israeli part of it as well. Lionel, do you believe what you're being fed? That's what I'm asking.
No, I don't believe anything that I'm being fed. And by the way, let me see if I can get to the bottom of this thing. One of the things that people are I'm going to use these words. I hate this. The right. I'm not the right. I have no idea what that means. But anyway, but the right is sick and tired of having been told for the longest time through COVID and whatever, they're going to shut up and we're going to cancel you and you're going to shut up. And with 4 years of this Biden is about to shut up. Well, now it's like paybacks are a bitch. Pardon my French. And you're going to pay for it. And you know what? There's a part of me that says, okay. Then we get these morons. These gentlemen seem smart enough to realize, you know, I kind of like my gig. I'm going to just not go through this mass, this hypnosis, this craziness, to sit in my car and say, you're Charlie Kirk, you're dying. And then they say, what? Wait a minute, what did I say? Now, is it fair? No. Is it free speech? Yes. But you know what? So what? Here's my favorite part. Wait till these folks try to get unemployment benefits for having been fired. That's going to be another one. Are you entitled to that? I don't want to get into that one. Now, I'm a former prosecutor, and I keep telling people, listen, I'm very cold-blooded. I predicted the Diddy thing, O.J., Casey Anthony, you name it, George Zimmerman. I predicted them all. Not that I agree with it. But if I go into court right now and say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, if you find beyond a reasonable doubt that this man was guilty, what are you looking at? Where was he? Do we even have forensic? I don't want to go through that. It's not open and shut. And finally, this confession is the most abstract. He said, you know, if I were to meet, I could see that. I said, wait. Confession is this. I did it. I killed him. That's a confession. This is more of a, what is this? What is this formative?
Well, I mean, Lionel, let me go to Bryce here. I mean, just as we convened here, There are reports that the FBI today, here on Tuesday, have reconstructed some kind of letter. Well, they reconstructed
it. That no longer exists, by the way.
It's such a weird story.
No, okay, but that's why we're doing it, because I want to be very open with her. I wasn't a big fan of Charlie Kirk. I wasn't, okay? I saw him as a sheepdog for the Republican Party establishment, and that's something that, you know, I'm not into, okay? But nonetheless, I mean, his core issue of freedom of speech is important here, because we should all embrace that. But now seeing how his death is being used opposite of what he said, like I said, I didn't agree with everything he had to say. I like Lionel, I saw more of him as a phenomenon. Go ahead, Bryce.
Right. I think he is a phenomenon. And, you know, to put my cards on the table, you know, I'm not shedding any tears for Charlie Kirk. While I'm not a fan of vigilante political assassinations, he is diametrically opposed to many of the things that I care about. But what's interesting, and I think that is being discussed, but not enough, is the alleged turn away from Israel that Charlie Kirk and his friends and his associates have been pointing to. If you go and look at the Gray Zone, which is an independent leftist outlet, they've been reporting on a meeting that Charlie Kirk had with Bill Ackman, of all people, one of the top, pro-Israel goons to ever walk the American streets. And in that meeting, according to this reporting, Charlie Kirk was being just excoriated by all these pro-Israel people. There was apparently a random British woman that no one knew who was yelling at him, talking about all the ways in which Charlie Kirk had besmirched the integrity of the state of Israel. And Kirk walked away from that meeting feeling like he was being blackmailed, feeling like he was being attacked. And Candace Owens,
Can I say just really quick? It was both his friends confirmed this to two separate parties, Candace Owens, like you're about to mention, and Max Blumenthal and his team. So the meeting definitely happened, and he definitely felt like he was threatened, because I wouldn't see why they would risk telling both sides this if it wasn't true.
Right. And, you know, there's no concrete evidence, like you said, the forensics and all that linking the Israelis to this hit. But I think if the Mossad were involved, we wouldn't really expect to see a sign that says, hey, Israel did this. Israel's committing political assassinations on American soil. Do with that what
you
will.
I'm not really sure if we even saw this young man that's in custody even hold a gun. So there's a lot of different avenues here. Gentlemen, I have to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Charlie Kirk. Stay with our team. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaBelle. To remind you, we're discussing Charlie Kirk. Okay, let's go back to Lionel. I mean, immediately after the assassination, we had, I think Max Blumenthal pointed out, Charlie Kirk's body was still warm when Benjamin Netanyahu came out and suddenly did a media blitz saying Israel didn't do it. Those are my words here. But Lionel, this is very problematic for Israel because, you know, those of us following the story, Israel is killing a lot of people around the world. They're assassinating people. They're very good at doing it. And it entered people's mind for reasons that Bryce and Nico have already mentioned. I mean, it was an open secret that Turning Point USA, its origins there was a lot of support from very powerful Zionist individuals in the United States and Israel. And Charlie Kirk had to start making a decision. So are you surprised that Israel is being brought up so quickly and so passionately by some people?
Well, I'm surprised it took this long to even talk about Israel. But here's my question. And what are you saying? And okay, if he had a falling out with Netanyahu. And what? Are people suggesting that Israel is involved? It's almost like, well, no, we just wanted to mention that. Here's what's interesting. Two things I noticed. Immediately, they're talking about Ben Shapiro taking over for Turning Point. Hold it. I think Erica has something to say about that. And then Nick Fuentes. Wait a minute. This shows you the vultures. This is a $100, maybe $200 million property here. And whoever wants this, it's like they're eyeing. It's like the relatives after the death, like the greedy children are like glumming over this. Look, this is, as you gentlemen know, in the United States here, if you watch conventional cable news, you would never think there's the slightest problem with anything involving not Israel per se, but Netanyahu or Gaza or Palestinians. But the rest of the world is on fire. And how they've been able to maintain this firewall is amazing to me, this blood-brain barrier between reality and what you see on cable news. And we have been living in this world where if you say something against listen to this, against a foreign country, you're called an anti-Semite, but you can say anything you want about my country and you're a patriot. So, and as we see this, we have members of our government going, paying to some type of homage, or I was going to say a hajj, I guess that's a wrong mixed metaphor, in Israel. And I think we're coming to, something is going to happen regarding that, but that's over here. The point right now is there are two issues concomitant. Number one is finding out who did it, and I agree with you, gentlemen. I don't know anything about this feller's involvement because, like I said, remember, they thought Diddy was guilty, which is another story. But the second thing is the reaction and how, I say it again, how the Republican Party is sitting back and letting this opportunity go slip through their fingers. They better do something. These many young people... What? Wanting to follow, and what would Charlie do? Je suis Charlie. I mean, you figure all of the memes that are there. It's incredible.
Well,
I don't feel like the Republican Party is in charge. That's what I feel like the disconnect is. I agree with you. They should seize upon this opportunity. That would be the politically intelligent thing to do as a person who's been a consultant myself. But that would insinuate and assume that the Republican Party is making its own decisions. After Charlie Kirk passed away, Marco Rubio threw all the plans for his weekend out the door and went to Israel. Netanyahu is giving speeches and somehow in Mormon country managed to blame Muslims for the attack on Charlie Kirk. You have political leaders of state. You have the Australian president talking about Charlie Kirk. This is a bizarre situation. But the reason why, as Lionel talks about the vultures, Nick Fuentes all of a sudden went from despising Charlie Kirk to praising him and then telling the world that social media should begin censoring anyone critical of Charlie Kirk, leading us to believe that he's going after his job, right? Because, like Peter said, that company is worth over $100 million. It was started by people like Richard Yorick, who literally, his family legacy is supporting George Wallace in the middle of segregation as George Wallace was trying to continue segregation, right? And he's a rabid Zionist. We know the types of people who funded Charlie Kirk. And so we know what message they're going to want from the next Charlie Kirk. But that is also what leads people to believe that Israel had something to do with this because of all the funders that are linked to Israel openly, right? And then the people who, like Nick Fuentes in this particular case, who switched his tone from literally being a groiper who thought all Jews were bad to, well, now we can't even criticize Charlie Kirk.
Well, gentlemen, we all know opportunists come from a wide array of political beliefs, okay? But, Bryce, it is a politically important, it's demographically very important, because Charlie Kirk created, and, you know, you can be a podcaster and be popular, but Charlie had an organization, okay, all across the country. Now, with Israel out of favor among Democrats and independents, the only area party left was the Republican Party, and that is dissipating. And that's why, in many ways, I think that there is this Israel angle to it. They want to keep it in line with Israel's policies and lack of criticism of it for a genocide. This group, this organization and these people are very important politically, and the Republicans are in panic because Charlie was transitioning his politics. There's no doubt about that. There's plenty of evidence of that. So this is an organization that certainly people want to capture for very specific political means.
Right. And if we look at the polls, if we look at the data, the demographic data in the United States, the youth, the young males specifically, young white males even more specifically, are becoming more and more conservative. You know, they have more conservative views on sex, on race, on gender, on the economy. And this is pushed in part by organizations like Turning Point USA. You know, when I was an undergraduate, there were a few chapters springing up around the country. But now, as you say, it's an institution. It's a household name. It's $100 million.
38,000 chapters.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is crazy to me. But it's part of the war for the minds of young people. But right now, as the, you know, if you look at the Israeli press, they're kind of freaking out. They're freaking out about the fact that even young right-wing males, typically the people who they have in the bag, are now becoming more and more critical of Israel, having a more and more sympathetic view to the Palestinians, or having a more and more restrictive view on American aid going to Israel. Like, that's a pretty serious problem if you're, you know, the Israelis, and you realize that since you want to take over half the Middle East, you need the American support to do that. And to do that, you need the support of the American right wing. Well, people like Charlie Kirk, they seem to be moving away from Israel. They seem to be taking a more critical stance. Well, if you're Israel, removing that obstacle and causing a free-for-all for who's going to be in charge of TPUSA is actually very beneficial to you and your long-term strategic goals. But again, like I say, there are all sorts of explanations floating around for why Charlie Kirk was assassinated. But I think the Israel angle, especially given what we know about Turning Point USA's refusal of a massive influx of Zionist money, and also the meeting with Bill Ackman, I think you have a plausible case for at least investigating it, at least wondering if one of the most murderous states on the planet actually had a hand in the murder.
At least investigate it. That's really key here, Lionel. At least, because what they're selling us right now is a lone gunman. That's what they're selling us, okay? With scant evidence. This is all hearsay from where we are right now. Liner.
By the way, I'm going to need some kind of Valium when I get done with this, because you gentlemen are driving, because you're saying things which are inspiring. Very, very quickly, I got to tell you this much. I'm in New York City. We have a race for mayor. There's a fellow named Zoran Mamdani. And they asked all of the participants in this during a debate, what's the first thing you're going to do? Or, you know, the old one was to go to Disney World or whatever. But now it's like, what are you going to do? Or where are you going to go? Or I have no idea what the question was. And everybody asked.
I know what the question was. What would be your first foreign visit? Right. There you go.
Well, first of all, the mayor of New York? I've got garbage in schools. Anyway, so everybody is saying, I'm going to go to Israel. I'm going to go three times. And then Zoran Mamdani, this fire-breathing leftist, neo-Marxist, commie, whatever that people love, said, well, I'm going to stay here. I'm the mayor of New York. It's like, that's the answer. It's nothing. Well, who fell for this? What are you doing? That's number one. The second thing is, gentlemen, after Butler, for God's sakes, people like this is Butler Redux. Say, hey, who are those people? Oh, they're on a roof. It's like, do you get a drone? And the third one, and listen, you know, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. But like Gore Vidal said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy analyst. But right off the bat, they're talking now about signals behind people standing behind and whether it was is this really the shot? Was it somebody else? Is this AI? And the number of AI photos are another thing, because if you think it's going to be difficult right now to figure out who's telling what with AI blending into the mix. So this is a cacophony. It's this admixture, this witch's brew of you pick the area. It's like 10 different bar fights going on at the same time. Pick your poison. I don't know where this is going.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
I have a question for you. You know, with all the admissions and all the confessions and all that, have you actually seen a live interview from any of the people who have supposedly given this corroborative evidence to the authorities?
No. In fact, and here's another thing, too. What a lot of people are saying is a great question. They're saying, why all of a sudden this interest for the FBI, when we went through here in New York City after BLM, after Antifa, after, whether you like it or not, I was here. This place looked like a hellscape. Not one person, was investigating anything. We kept saying, hey, who are these people? They were bringing pallets of bricks on Fifth Avenue. Nobody cared. And now all of a sudden, so here's the best part. If you talk to the father again said, the initial testimony was that he said, I was there. I said, wait a minute, that's not a, no. And the Discord folks said, hey guys, it's me. Yeah, it's me. I'm sorry. Sorry about what? Answered the question. And are these Discord folks going to come forward and say, that's not what I said? Or are you going to purge this firewall and reveal their names?
All right, gentlemen, we have a, hang on, gentlemen, we have a few seconds left. I want all of you to answer the following question. Is this story that we're being fed, is it all by design? I want yes or no, Lionel.
No.
No. Okay, Bryce?
Maybe,
okay. Okay, Nico?
Hard, yes. Design to divide.
Wow, that's a
all three.
All three. Okay, but design to divide. That's how we end this program, and that's how I feel. And the four of us here, we don't share the same political values. We're all very, very different, but we've come to that point, and I think that's interesting. That's all the time we have, gentlemen. I want to thank my guests in New York, Bloomington, and in Rio. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules. Mm-hmm.